You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Monday. More phone calls coming up from you. Best and worst of the weekend. We'll give you hours coming up as well. Once again, if you're just joining us, Odell Beckham Jr.'s season is over. Torn ACL. Josina Anderson was the first to report that. MVP prop bet, Paulie, do you have the MVP? Because after we saw what happened last night with Kyler Murray against Russell Wilson Jr. III, we're trying to see if we can get in with some good odds on Kyler Murray.
Before last night, if you bet 100 on Kyler Murray, you could have made $2,000. Now it's down to 16 plus 1600. Mm. So 100 gets you 1600. But here's the thing. Okay. Kyler Murray is entering uncharted waters. I think I got it. He's on pace for 4,000 yards passing, 1,000 yards rushing. Cam Newton's best year wasn't that. Mike Vick's best wasn't that. Kyler Murray has Miami, Buffalo, Seattle's defense, New England's, Los Angeles, New York's. They got Philadelphia, San Francisco, Los Angeles. A lot of winnable games there for his team and a lot of chance to put up a lot of stats for Kyler Murray.
Michael Vick in 2006, Lamar Jackson last year, the only quarterbacks to rush for 1,000 yards in a season. I was curious about the passing totals. Lamar Jackson rushed for 1,200 yards last year. Vic just over 1,000. But that's it. Vic only passed for 2,400 yards when he rushed for 1,000. Jackson threw for 3,100 yards. So nobody's done a 4,000-1,000 season. Nobody's done a 3,500-750 season. And the numbers would project that Kyler Murray is going to rush for 1,000 and throw for 4,000 yards and I believe 30 touchdowns. Yeah, Paul.
To put it in perspective, Cam Newton in 2015 threw for 3,800 yards, threw for about 35 touchdowns. So his high-end passing numbers, touchdown-wise, he ran for 636 yards and 10 touchdowns, quite a bit less than Kyler Murray. More passing, a little less running. Cam's rookie year, he had 14 rushing touchdowns, which is the most by a quarterback in history. Kyler Murray's on a pace for 16 right now.
Yeah. He looked good last night going toe-to-toe with Russell Wilson. Wilson has 22 touchdown passes, and I think every quarterback who has had that total this far into the season has gone on to win the MVP. Peyton did it, Tom Brady did it, Brett Favre did it, and Russell Wilson is your favorite right now. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at dpshow. Bears-Rams coming up tonight. The World Series has the night off after the Dodgers go up 3-2 on the Rays. Steelers the only undefeated team, and the New York Jets the only winless team. There was a moment yesterday in the Dallas game where Andy Dalton from his end zone scrambles out and he gets leveled by, he goes into a slide, the protective quarterback slide, and John Bostic went up top and hit him in the helmet. And Andy Dalton in concussion protocol certainly got roughed up there. And I watched it again. I've watched it probably 10 times now. His teammates don't offer any support. They're just kind of standing there. And they're just kind of waiting for Andy Dalton's replacement to come in. Like, nobody's upset. Nobody got in John Bostic's face. Nobody grabbed Bostic. Nobody did anything. Here's Mike McCarthy calling out his team after the loss.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a hit that caused a disqualification. But, yeah, well, I mean, we speak all the time about playing for one another, you know, protecting one another. It definitely was probably not the response that you would expect.
No, and you're the head coach. I got to see some life there. And it starts with Mike McCarthy. Get angry. Get something. Because right now, you're embarrassed and you're on the verge of being irrelevant. Like, when's the last time you didn't want to see what the Cowboys were doing in a game during a season? For the most part, you're always, you know, the Cowboys are interesting. They may not be great, but they're interesting. Now, they're becoming irrelevant. There are teams that lose, but they're not irrelevant. And this is an easy division. Yeah, McLovin.
What about, like, interesting Bizarre train wreck? Like, they have a bunch of primetime games, including next Sunday night. You know, is there something interesting in seeing them be awful?
I guess if you don't like the Cowboys, but I wonder if these networks are still going to show the Cowboys. Do they flex out of a Cowboy game? Like, Cowboys game is gold. You know, that's viewing gold for these networks. I'm guessing you'll still get a great number because Cowboy fans, I'm assuming, will still tune in, and those that don't like the Cowboys will probably tune in. But, you know, you fight and claw to get Cowboy games in primetime. Yes, Todd?
Well, you want to at least see facial expressions of Jerry Jones in the suite or Mike McCarthy, and you don't even get that with the masks on, so there's almost nothing to, you know, look forward to if you're not interested in what the Cowboys are doing on the field.
Well, I couldn't care less about seeing Mike McCarthy's facial expressions because he offers, you know, there's nothing there. I couldn't care less. I'm just surprised he got the job. Said it at the time. He was out of football. We know what happened in Green Bay, and Jerry Jones treated him like, I just got John Madden. I mean, I somehow we got this guy and nobody else got this guy. And I know there was talk that maybe Mike McCarthy with the Cleveland Browns. I mean, there was talk that he would get another job. I just don't know what happened in that sleepover with Jerry Jones where Jerry goes, are you kidding me? I'm blown away. I found my guy. And I don't know Mike McCarthy. I'm not sure I understand his genius where that would have been a no. I wanted a younger coach in there. I didn't want to retread. I wanted a younger coach. And Matt Rhule at Baylor, maybe he wasn't ready for that job, or at least we thought that he wasn't ready for a job like that. And then he goes to Carolina. Maybe that's the perfect situation for him. They've done a good job there. That's not a great team. They have played hard. They've been in every game they played. But Mike McCarthy's just not inspiring anybody. Not that you should have to when you get to the professional level, but apparently you do with the Dallas Cowboys because you have some fat cats there, guys who got paid, and they are mailing it in right now. They're licking the postage stamp and mailing the letter. And it's kind of a shame to see because that team does have a lot of talent there. I still go back to what I told McLovin at the beginning of the year with the Cowboys. We make the Cowboy players better just because they play for the Cowboys. You know, DeMarcus Lawrence, if he played in Cincinnati, nobody would talk about him. Leighton Vander Esch, if he played, you know, throw out a team, nobody's going to talk about him. But in Dallas, they become household names. This goes back to the philosophy that George Steinbrenner wanted for his baseball team. He treated it like a TV show where you know all the characters, you know the cast, you know, that's TV's version, baseball's version of Friends. You tune in and you know there's A-Rod and there's Jeter and there's Posada and, you know, Tino, and you had all of these, Bernie, Pettit. In Dallas, that's what it feels like, that you tune in and you see them all the time. They're always in prime time and you know who those players are. And therefore, they take on a little bit more of a larger life, a larger presence. And they shouldn't. But because they play for the Cowboys, all of a sudden we elevate them. Zeke Elliott was great first couple of seasons. How's that contract looking now? Amari Cooper. If Amari Cooper played in Atlanta, he'd be the third best receiver behind Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones. But because he plays for the Cowboys, he seems to be better than what he really is. Now, the offensive line is legit. When they're healthy, that was one of the better offensive lines we've had in the last couple of decades. But was Tony Romo a great quarterback? He was a good quarterback. But you play for the Cowboys, you become a great quarterback. Yeah, McLovin.
I count six Pro Bowlers on defense, or the guys who've been in the Pro Bowl, but some of them, like Dontari Poe, is a little older. But like,
okay,
that's
but
six
where
Pro Bowlers.
Where are those players?
I don't know.
There's nothing. They're healthy.
Jalen Smith was great last year, or was I just imagining things? Now he's like the worst player in the NFL.
But this is a team that has allowed at least 20 points in the first half of six consecutive games. That's the longest streak in NFL history. And you got a defense that's got six Pro Bowlers on there. They've allowed almost 35 points per game. The highest average by any team through seven games in a season since the 1973 Houston Oilers.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
top.
And with that being said, they're a half game out of first place.
The best team in the NFC East has been outscored by 32 points this year. The Washington Redskins.
Yeah. Washington football team.
Yeah. Whatever.
Jimmy Garoppolo picked up a victory. He went home and got a win, even though he's not from New England. But going back to beat the Patriots, he didn't play well. And I think it was this CBS pregame show, Jason Lockenfora said that the Niners are reassessing or going to reassess Jimmy Garoppolo in the offseason. I don't think he threw a touchdown pass, threw a couple interceptions, and they blew out the Patriots. He didn't look great. Yeah, McLovin.
Debo Samuel is, have you ever seen a wide receiver that plays running back like
he
that?
He is so much fun. He's a little too fearless for me, but man, is he fun. But Garoppolo, you know, do I think they're going to look in a, I would be surprised if Garoppolo is the quarterback next year in San Francisco. I would be. Because I think that they could get, Kyle Shanahan probably is looking at this and wondering, with a more experienced quarterback, they win the Super Bowl. With a more experienced quarterback this year, are they going back to the Super Bowl? Got a lot of talent on that team. I don't think they're as good as they were last year, but I don't know if Jimmy G can win those kind of games for you. He has those moments, and he should have those moments. I got maybe the best tight end in football and one of the most exciting wide receivers. I got a great offensive line, and I have a great running attack. Quarterback's the one question mark. Yeah, Paul.
So Debo Samuel, the Niners, we were joking. I wonder if he's named Debo after Debo from the movie Friday. And it's Tyshawn Samuel. He got the name Debo from his father from the movie Friday. His dad loved the movie. He loved the movie. When he was a little kid, he used to walk up to people and just take their stuff and walk away. So he started calling his son Debo. Like when Debo takes his bike. And the name Debo stuck because he used to take stuff and bully kids, according to Debo. And then when he got to college, he thought it would go away. And someone heard that his nickname was Debo and it stuck. He thought he was going to go to college and they call him Tyshawn.
He's fun. And then they got Ayuk from Arizona State. He's fun, too. Yeah, McLovin.
By the way, if you want to talk system, the running backs there, you could plug in anybody. Some kid named Jeff Wilson Jr. went over a hundy last night. As guys keep getting hurt every day.
Yeah, but you don't have to pay him. I mean, it's smart.
Right. Well, I mean, Mostert looked like a world beater, and but they keep injuring guys, and it doesn't matter.
But they run the football.
Don't you want to add Nick Bosa back into that mix, though, to see what they could do for the Niners?
Why, well, I do, but...
Feels like they would be...
What does that have to do with Jimmy Garoppolo?
Well, it just feels like they would be a real Super Bowl contender with Nick Bosa back in, and now they feel a little bit underneath.
Well, Richard Sherman's been out.
I mean, right, they don't... A lot of guys.
Yeah. Solomon, Thomas.
Pete Schrager on Twitter was talking a lot about the Niners last night, saying that they watch out, they could be the secret team to beat in the NFC.
How are they the secret team?
Because they had Nick Mullins and... Bethard and got killed a couple of games.
So people jumped off the bandwagon, yes. So now they're a secret team.
Yes.
Well, they should be good. They're not a secret, but, you know, maybe, yeah. That's a tough division, too. But if Nick Bosa is in there, do I change my opinion? Yeah, maybe a little bit, but it still comes back to, can Jimmy Garoppolo win a big game for you?
How about a comparison to that Ravens team with Trent Dilfer? You know, that they got all the way. He's a great, great defense, great running.
Oh, that was an elite defense. Yeah. And Jimmy is asked to do more than Trent Dilfer did for the Ravens, in fairness to Jimmy G. That Ravens defense, one of the great defenses of all time. The Niners' great defense, where was it in the second half? The final 10 minutes, final 7 minutes. That defense... lost the Super Bowl, right?
Right, to like the greatest quarterback in the history of Earth.
Who did nothing in the first three quarters.
He did that every game. He fell down three touchdowns to the Texans.
They forgot where Tyreek Hill was on the biggest play in the game. Hey, has anybody got Tyreek? Oh! You're a great defense. Your great secondary. All right, we'll do best and worst of the weekend. Let me get a couple of phone calls in here. Oh, James in Virginia, his football team got a win yesterday over the Cowboys. Congratulations, James.
Oh, well, thank you, brother. I'm only a half a game out of first, man. Can you believe it? Not we, I'm sorry. Washington is only a half a game out of first. I got to say, though, man, watching yesterday, man, for the first time this season, man, watching the Washington football team, it didn't feel like a Washington-Dallas rivalry, man, but it still felt good to watch them get their heads beat in, man. I do feel like the Cowboys should have came after Bostic, after that hit, man. You definitely want to play real professional football, and that was definitely a cheap shot. But going forward, man, I think I don't think that they have a chance to make the playoffs, but I do think they have a chance to make it interesting as long as number 11 is under center in Philadelphia. They're the odds-on favorite. I got to say this, though, man. I feel pretty good about my Super Bowl picks, man, 22-4 through the first 7 weeks, man. So, well, the final four teams, so I'm feeling pretty good there. I called in after week two. I told you, man, Kyler Murray could be a dark horse sleeper, man, and this guy is the most electrifying player in football today, man. And I'll leave you with this last thing right here. And I'm not one to give out shows, but Barbarians on Netflix, I caught it late Friday night, and I watched it throughout the weekend, man. It is outstanding. I never watched Game of Thrones or Vikings, but I guess it's compared to that kind of genre of filmmaking or series. But I got to tell you, man, Brunelda, amen, brother. Thank you.
All right, James. Thank you, James. Yeah, see.
I like that James isn't one to give out shows. No. I don't recommend shows. It's just, as a rule, I just prefer to not recommend shows to people.
While I give out
But there is this one. But I don't do that.
Yeah, boy.
I got to call him out. What kind of person is watching shows on a weekend? I watched 14 hours of college football.
Well, it was Friday night, he said.
No excuse. There's baseball. There was some, I think BYU was playing. Mm. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you could watch your shows. Mm-hmm. But I want a commitment on the weekends. I did 14 hours on Saturday. Then another, 11 on Sunday? I don't know if there's any time for shows on weekends.
In the afternoon. I'll probably get a couple episodes of Cobra Kai in today. Today.
Monday. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Today.
Not weekend.
Cobra Kai, season 2. Oh, it is on. Yeah, battling dojos here. Cobra Kai. I didn't believe it when Seton said, you know what? I don't know if it's good, but it's really hard to turn off.
It's like it's so close to being terrible that it's great. It's the weirdest thing. I don't know how they found that sweet spot, but damn, did they.
Well, they have the flashbacks, and that helps. And, that now they're at Mr. Miyagi's house, and he's got the cars there. Of course, Mr. Miyagi has passed away, but Daniel's son comes in, and it's good. It's fun. It's a guilty pleasure, let's put it that way. I did watch Borat. Did you guys watch Borat yet?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
The woman in there is, she's the one that makes the movie. He's brilliant in what he does and how he does it, but she makes it, whatever it is, she made it better. Maria Bakalova, I think. She's from Bulgaria. She is great in the movie. There's some funny scenes in there, but she's got something special there. All right, coming up on 19 after the hour, we'll take a break. More phone calls coming up, and our best and worst of the weekend right after this. Todd has been dying to give me his best and worst of the weekend.
I have.
All right. Then I'll start with you, Todd. Best and worst of the weekend.
Welcome back, Coach Greg Schiano. Keep on chopping the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, beating the Michigan State Spartans 38-27 Saturday, snapping a 21-game losing streak in Big Ten play. Last time they had won was November 4th, 2017 against Maryland. Worst of the weekend in the heartbreaking Game 4 loss to the Rays. Kenley Jansen, dubious distinction now having the most blown saves in World Series history. Career stat line, 0-2, 4.4 ERA, 2 saves and a record 4 blown saves for Kenley Jansen in the World Series.
McLovin, best and worst of the weekend. By the way, Rutgers winning in East Lansing in a convincing fashion. Pretty amazing. Yeah.
I'm going to go worse with the Jalen Waddle injury. Alabama receiver got hurt on the kickoff after the year. Feels like his draft stock got decimated by that. My best is totally random, but I saw it on Sunday morning. Adele pretends she's on The Bachelor and breaks into all the dates singing her famous songs. Yeah. And it's funniest 5 minutes I've ever seen. God bless Adele. She's way funnier than I thought.
Seton O'Connor.
My best, I guess, is kind of obvious, but Clayton Kershaw finally exercising the demons. Like, if the Dodgers don't win, wasn't my fault. You know? I mean, so much hype leading up to, what if he has to pitch it? What if he has to do this? And he did well. So, well done, Clayton. My worst of the weekend is actually that same SNL bit with Adele. because, you know, Adele, obviously, right, she's a famous singer. She has an amazing voice, and she's the host, but she's not singing on the show.
I know.
There's another performer named Her. That's and also a great singer, but not many people are too familiar with her. So Adele, SNL does this bit, right, where, yeah, Adele's finally singing, and the crowd is going bonkers, right? And she sounds like a million bucks, right? Her voice is just amazing. And the bit absolutely crushes, right? And people finally, the crowd has just gone absolutely wild, and they go to commercial break and come back. Now, ladies and gentlemen, her. And they tee up the musical act after Adele just crushes. Now you bring out this other girl. How do you set her up like that? Dang. It was unintentionally cruel.
Paulie, best and worst of the week.
Big Ten is back, Dan. Iowa, Purdue, good game. Good, nice win by Purdue. They got this running back, Xander Horvath, fullback. Number 40, he's like a Mike Alstott throwback. He even has number 40. Then, of course, Rutgers, got to give him credit. Nobody picks on Rutgers more than I do. So great job by Rutgers. But the game of the weekend was Indiana 36, Penn State 35 in overtime. Wild win, controversial, but that was some good TV. I'm glad the Big Ten's back.
That was one of those where I thought Indiana was going to win, and then Penn State scores, and then I thought Indiana's going to lose this game. I tune into another game. I come back, and it's overtime. And I thought, okay, let me just watch the game, and then I'll go back and figure out how they got to overtime. Because it was one of those odd numbers. I go, how did they tie the game? And then you realize they let them score, and then they go down, and then they score. We go into overtime. I don't know if they got the two-point conversion. It was pretty close there. I'm guessing if that game was played maybe in Happy Valley, that probably wouldn't have been a two-point conversion, but it was pretty incredible. It was a pretty incredible finish. There were a couple of them. You had that with the Detroit Lions and Atlanta Falcons. And you think a game is over. And I'm flipping around. I flip back and I go, wait a minute. Detroit won this game? And then you got to go back and go, how did they get to this point? So I missed two great finishes, or at least the start of great finishes. Because I just thought the other team was going to win. Yeah, Paul.
By the way, the Indiana Hoosiers may have the best names in college football collectively. Some of the receivers, Peyton Hendershot.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Clayton Kershaw finally exercising the demons. Like, if the Dodgers don't win, wasn't my fault. You know? I mean, so much hype leading up to, what if he has to pitch it? What if he has to do this? And he did well. So, well done, Clayton. My worst of the weekend is actually that same SNL bit with Adele. Because, you know, Adele, obviously, right, she's a famous singer. She has an amazing voice. And she's the host, but she's not singing on the show.
I know.
There's another performer named Her. That's and also a great singer, but not many people are too familiar with her. So Adele, SNL does this bit, right, where, yeah, Adele's finally singing and the crowd is going bonkers, right? And she sounds like a million bucks, right? Her voice is just amazing. And the bit absolutely crushes, right? And people finally, the crowd has just gone absolutely wild and they go to commercial break and come back. Now, ladies and gentlemen, her. And they tee up the musical act after Adele just crushes. Now you bring out this other girl. How do you set her up like that? Dang. It was unintentionally cruel.
Paulie, best and worst of the weekend.
Big Ten is back, Dan. Iowa, Purdue, good game. Good, nice win by Purdue. They got this running back, Xander Horvath, fullback. Number 40, he's like a Mike Alstott throwback. He even has number 40. Then, of course, Rutgers, got to give him credit. Nobody picks on Rutgers more than I do. So great job by Rutgers. But the game of the weekend was Indiana 36, Penn State 35 in overtime. Wild win, controversial, but that was some good TV. I'm glad the Big Ten's back.
That was one of those where I thought Indiana was going to win, and then Penn State scores, and then I thought Indiana's going to lose this game. I tune into another game. I come back, and it's overtime. And I thought, okay, let me just watch the game, and then I'll go back and figure out how they got to overtime. Because it was one of those odd numbers. I go, how did they tie the game? And then you realize they let them score, and then they go down, and then they score. We go into overtime. I don't know if they got the two-point conversion. It was pretty close there. I'm guessing if that game was played maybe in Happy Valley, that probably wouldn't have been a two-point conversion, but it was pretty incredible. It was a pretty incredible finish. There were a couple of them. You had that with the Detroit Lions and Atlanta Falcons. And you think a game is over. And I'm flipping around. I flip back and I go, wait a minute. Detroit won this game? And then you got to go back and go, how did they get to this point? So I missed two great finishes, or at least the start of great finishes, because I just thought the other team was going to win. Yeah, Paul.
By the way, the Indiana Hoosiers may have the best names in college football collectively. Some of the receivers, Peyton Hendershot, Ty Freifogel, Wap Fillior, the wide receiver, who big play at the end there, and of course the quarterback, Michael Penix Jr.
Michael Penix Jr. the third.
If you mispronounce it, you go into
Gotta be careful.
Yeah.
Gotta be careful. Jeff in Detroit. Hey, Jeff, what do you have for us today?
What up, though? One time for Chat Row. Everything is awesome, man. Best and worst of the weekend. I'm going to start with my worst. Michigan State getting whooped up like that. That's not cool. Not cool at all. The best is going to end up being the Detroit Lions pulling the Detroit Lions on the Atlanta Falcons. You know, that usually happens to us.
That's true.
And then in Michigan, I think we found a quarterback in this 6 foot, what is he, 6'5", 245, man. I think we got our quarterback. Yes, sir, we got our quarterback. And guess what, man? They found a decent sweater for Jake to put on that fits him. From State Farm, Jake from State Farm. I got a new commercial. He got a nice little festive sweater on so my girl can give me my remote back during the commercial break.
All right.
Also.
Thank you, Jeff. Yeah, Jake, State Farm, he's jacked. And they should call him Jack.
But they put him back in a sweater for fall?
I didn't know that. I didn't know the fall collection for Jake's wardrobe there with Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, that dude, he's got guns there. I saw where LeBron James is all excited about the Dodgers. He tweeted out, yes, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation. One more job not done. Finish your breakfast at Dodgers. Okay. Is he a Yankee fan? Is he an Indians fan? Now he's a Dodger fan. Can't quite figure out. I thought, remember that whole thing when the Yankees and Indians were playing and then LeBron was wearing a Yankee hat? But he's from Cleveland, but I don't know if he's a Dodger fan because he's the Yankees aren't in the World Series. I don't know. Did he like the Marlins when he was in Miami? I'm not sure how this works with LeBron. Yes, McLovin.
Isn't he a huge Cowboys fan? I haven't seen many Cowboys tweets.
Yes. Yeah.
I never heard the story. Why didn't he root for the Browns? He just because they were bad when he was a kid?
Well, no, he did tweet out to Baker Mayfield, like, great performance or something. He tweeted out something yesterday to Baker Mayfield, like fantastic game or something like that. But he's a Cowboy fan and a Yankee fan.
And Ohio State, right?
Yes, the Ohio State. Yeah. All right, some more phone calls, best and worst of the weekend. Tyler in New Jersey. Hey, Tyler, what do you have for me today?
6'1", 180.
Yeah.
My worst of the weekend is the Seattle Seahawks losing to the Cardinals. And my best is DK Metcalf stopping a would-be pick six.
That is going to be a play that stays with DK Metcalf his entire career. And it should. Buda Baker has 4.5 speed. DK, you saw the difference between 4.5 and 4.3. Because DK Metcalf at that size should not be running that speed. And he was. Although, I'm not sure I understand this, McLovin. Whatever contraption they're using, is it a radar gun?
I have no idea.
Daniel Jones is running almost 21.5 miles per hour when he tripped and fell last Thursday night, right?
Right.
What was the top end speed for DK Metcalf last night chasing down Buda Baker?
Efforting here.
I think it was around
23, right?
No. I think it was around 22.
22.64.
Yeah, so just a little, like 1 mile an hour faster than Daniel Jones.
And Jones had the ball in his hand.
Does that
seem right?
Does that seem...
And I saw a stat that Tyreek Hill's never really gotten to where Daniel Jones was, or maybe just right around there.
I'm going to throw the challenge flag on this one.
I did that by saying I don't understand it, that Daniel Jones runs, his top end speed is faster than Tyreek Hill, and just a shade slower than DK Metcalf. That did Daniel Jones run a 4.5 40?
We just looked it up. He had a 4.82 unofficial.
Okay. See, that doesn't make sense. I mean, 4.8 is good for a quarterback, but I don't know how he gets to his top end speed, and that's faster than Tyreek Hill. And do they these radar guns vary?
I don't think that, no one's like pointing a radar gun at the guys running. We got to figure out how AWS does this.
Yeah, because it seems like it might be flawed a little bit there. It's like certain ballparks, they'll have the radar gun will register differently. You know, you would have the home field advantage because you wanted the opposition to think, God, he's throwing 102. You know, that curveball was 96. Like, just you wanted to amplify the numbers a little bit there. And I think most teams do that in their own park where, you know, they might add a mile per hour or two. Let's see. What else do we have here? Josh in New Mexico. Hey, Josh, what do you have for me today?
Hey, my man. How we doing?
Good, sir.
6'5", a doughy 285.
Ooh.
Yeah, COVID. Right. So I got my best and worst of the weekend. My worst. So in 1963, my mom was 7 years old, and her dad took her to see Sandy Koufax play at Dodger Stadium. She is now a lifelong Dodger fan. She called me Saturday night after the last 2 minutes of the game, crying. Like, legitimately crying. Is that it? Did we lose? My best of the weekend is last night. I get a text from her that just one line, my boys did it.
Yeah. But not yet. Up 3-2. Got the night off, though. Thank you, Josh. Yeah, make sure you tell your mom there's no game tonight. I don't want her searching around for Dodgers and the Rays. Yeah, Paulie.
I can remember when DirecTV was nice enough to get us tickets. Was that the Super Bowl in Minnesota? Was that Philly versus New England?
Yeah.
There was Philadelphia Eagles fans there when they had the lead, and they were celebrating. They were in their cups a little bit, and they were sitting right behind us. Remember, Seton? Like, we did it. We're going to win the Super Bowl. I'm like, you guys better calm down. Tom Brady's still alive and has a pulse. I can remember they're like, we're going to win the Super Bowl, and there's like 8 minutes left.
Shh. You imagine all those Falcons fans when they're up 28-3 celebrating.
I'm still not convinced the Cubs have won the Super Bowl in 60 or the World Series in 60.
Yes, McLovin.
By the way, we didn't tell you because you were working that night, but we got almost caught up in a Patriots Eagles fans fist fight. But I real serious. No surprise.
Oh, an Eagles fan involved?
Yeah. Who would guess that? It wasn't me and Seton, by the way. It was real diehards on either side of us.
Browns Bengals combined for 738 passing yards. Cardinals Seahawks 748 yards passing. Have we had two games in a weekend where you've had that total for passing yards there? Kind of crazy. I was also looking at the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers play the Giants next Monday. So Tampa wins there, they'd be 6-2 at the midway point. And then you start to look at their schedule second half. They have a run where they have New Orleans at Carolina, Rams in Kansas City. They might go 2-2 there. They have a bye week. Then they have Minnesota at Atlanta, at Detroit, and then they host Atlanta. All right. You could be 11 wins here for Tampa, I'm guessing. And I don't know, like New Orleans, this whole Michael Thomas mystery, that, you know, it felt like it was an injury, and then was it really an injury, and then was it something to do with a teammate, and then did it escalate from there? There were whispers over the weekend. Mike Florio said that maybe the Saints would trade him, which isn't going to happen. What happened to the best receiver in football? And the Saints don't have him. All of a sudden, we look at the Saints, I think, differently. But that's a great mystery. I think he's healthy. At least it feels like he's healthy. But I haven't seen anything that furthers this story. McLovin, have you seen anything on...
Nope. Everyone's wondering on Twitter what's the deal. But Breeze actually looked really good.
Yeah, he did.
Big chunk of last game. Like, the arm was a little more lively.
But if you're looking at a fan base right now, and you're looking, like, the most excited fan base today about their quarterback, is it the Cardinals? Is it the Bengals? Is it the Chargers? Other?
That's a three-way tie. I think they're all thrilled.
I would be. Did you see the Justin Herbert touchdown run? Fake the defender out? And he looks, he is so far ahead of where I thought he would be. Because I thought he was really inconsistent at Oregon his last year there. Size, athleticism, great arm, but I didn't expect greatness like this. Burrow, I thought, was going to be throwing 40 times a game. By the way, I think that Kyler Murray threw the ball. Did he throw it 50 times last night? Seattle had exactly zero sacks. That is a huge issue for this team. 48 attempts, no sacks. Zero. 0.0. All right, we'll take a break. Last call for phone calls, what we learn, what's in store tomorrow, right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. No baseball tonight. Just the Rams and the Bears. They got the night to themselves. I was laughing when I saw the Clemson press conference with Dabo Sweeney. You know, Syracuse gave him a pretty good run, and that was at Clemson. You know, Syracuse closed the game to 27-21 third quarter. And then after the game, somebody asked Dabo Sweeney about the team's energy level. And Dabo Sweeney said, I just want to make sure I'm at the right press conference here. We did win the game, I think. Am I in the right spot? You don't usually score 47 points if you don't have the right energy. We made some mistakes. It's not energy when you don't make a certain play or snap the ball over a head. Just didn't execute. But at the end of the day, it's not easy to win. Let's see. He says, we won the game by almost four touchdowns. I'm not getting any questions about proud of you guys for winning the game. It's a lot of negative questions. You're not going to get any negative stuff from me. By the way, it was Trevor Lawrence who said the team's energy was not where it needed to be at the beginning of the game during his interview with the same reporters. Dabo, I don't know what kind of media you face down there, what kind of questions you face, but I'm not getting any questions about, quote, proud of you guys for winning the game. Oh, God. And we think that he could coach in the NFL? Hey, proud of you guys for winning that football game there against the Cowboys. It doesn't happen. Yes, McLevin.
Is that the role of a journalist to say, hey, preface a
proud
question?
Of you guys.
We're very proud of your win.
Proud of you. Do you remember when Peyton Manning announced he was coming back for his senior season at Tennessee? The entire press room gave him a standing ovation at his press conference. Every member of the media stood up and gave him a standing ovation.
They're singing Rocky Top.
Oh, my God. Next time I have a coach on and they've won a game, I'm going to say, I just want to say before we get started, I'm proud of you guys for winning that game.
How did they figure out that orange defense that Georgia Tech and Liberty ran all over for like 200 plus yards?
Yeah. Got to start asking some, you know, positive questions around here. Paul in Iowa. Hi, Paul. What's on your mind today?
Hey, DP, 5'11", 172.
Yeah.
Thanks. Worst of the weekend, Brocktober made it to the final week of the month, and then Iowa State took a loss at number 6, Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
Best of the weekend, the money I lost on my Cyclones, I won back, parlaying all the afternoon late-game NFL games correctly. And then a quick question for you. If you said last hour to Chris Sims, if the Giants and Jets merged. So if the Giants and Jets merged, who's the starting quarterback, and do you want Adam Gase calling the plays?
And thanks for the phone call, Paul. Sorry about Iowa State. Yeah, I watched a bit of that game. I'm going to go with Sam Darnold because he would have a little more experience than Daniel Jones. By the way, there's a chip in, I think, the shoulder pads with the players. When you run, that's how they tell how fast you're going. And Daniel Jones or DK Metcalf, the chip in your shoulder pads will tell them how fast you're running. Yeah, Paul.
So they literally have a chip in their shoulder, not on their shoulder. Okay.
Ooh, Todd was so...
I did like that.
He
liked
was
it.
So waiting to... to offer that up.
That was strong. Actually, I didn't even think of that, but I liked it.
Thank you, Paulie. Thank you. I'd probably do Sam Darnold. Would the Jets and Giants make the playoffs in the AFC East? I'm not going to put them in the NFC East because they would definitely make the playoffs there. But in the AFC East, I'm going to say they would not make the playoffs if they merged. Barry in New York. Hi, Barry.
Good morning, boys. 5'9", 190. Thank you. I'll start with my worst of the weekend. Oy, my Jets. Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. I was all aboard the 0-16 train. Then at halftime, they have a lead. Yeah, maybe they're going to win. And then, as usual, Lucy pulls the ball away from Charlie Brown, and we have another loss. Best of the weekend was the Saturday night World Series games. Guys were actually swinging and making contact. Balls were flying all over the place. Guys were running. Guys were falling. Balls were being missed. Man, old-time baseball. Love it.
Yeah, and thank you, Barry. Yeah, McLovin goes, you see what happens, you know, with your kind of baseball? You know, it's not swinging and missing, you know, hitting home runs or missing. There was a lot of things in there. Bad baseball, as you said.
Two stolen bases. That's two base runners last night were caught. I think. I'm not sure what happened on that second one. The one attack. But no, you're right. It was very entertaining.
It was entertaining. It's not what you would... It's not typical baseball.
Stealing home, that beats the walk-off home run and the catching a home run.
It is exciting. You know, that bang-bang play normally. Paulie, this day in sports history.
2005, the White Sox defeated the Astros 7-5 in the first World Series game to be held in Texas. The game was also the longest in series history, 5 hours and 41 minutes. It actually began the next day they won the World Series. Do you remember who came on after the longest game in history and helped us recap the game? Our guest from Chicago to recap White Sox-Astros in 2005.
Bill Murray.
George Herbert Walker Bush, the former president
right.
of the United States. He and his Mrs. Bush stayed for the entire game, and we had him on. If I remember right, we had him on, I think, twice in a one-week span to recap the games.
Yes. And he was great.
He was.
I really enjoyed talking to him. And he loved baseball. He loved it so much, and he'd keep score. And, you know, his wife, Barbara, would sit there with him. He was fun. Anything else this day in sports history?
That's it. That's a biggie.
Okay. All right. Final results of the poll question, McLovin.
Who should be traded this week? It's actually J.J. Watt and Julio Jones are about tied. They're running away with it.
I don't think either is going to be traded. I don't think so.
It's more of like what's most fair.
Yeah.
Who serves out?
If you said to J.J. Watt, you could leave now and go to Green Bay. Or you could go to Pittsburgh.
Or the Bears. He is close to someone in Chicago.
His wife is there.
Yeah.
Playing soccer.
Oh.
I think you'd go to Green Bay. Yeah, McLovin.
I feel like you don't want to get traded, though, because that's, you know, if you're JJ, you're Mr. America, you are the Texans. You want to go out on your terms 100%.
But would you like to play in the postseason?
He's been to the playoffs.
I know, but usually they play in that Saturday 1 o'clock game. If they could start it earlier, they would. Todd, what'd you learn today?
You'd be surprised if Jimmy Garoppolo is the quarterback in San Francisco next season.
McLovin?
Chris Sims says the Bucs are basically the team to beat in the NFC.
Seton O'Connor.
Tim Kalisha has a Josh Brolin, Kenny Rogers thing going on.
He does. Paulie?
This is my new favorite sound drop.
That's not cool. Not cool at all.
Jeff without some sleep. Yeah. Well, what we learned brought to you by the Breeders' Cup, November 6th and 7th. The world's best thoroughbreds compete in 14 exhilarating races at the Breeders' Cup World Championship. Learn more at BreedersCup.com/2020. Catch all the action live on NBC Sports. Have a great day. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you tomorrow.